Psalm 40, in verse 9, it says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you this evening as we gather in your house. And Lord, we ask that you would bless your word as we are reminded of the glorious works of our great God, reminded of his righteousness, his faithfulness, the blessing of salvation, the aspect of his loving kindness and mercies towards us, and the blessing of truth, all being preached in the great congregation. Oh, Lord, we just pray that this are the truth that will be always propagated from this pulpit, Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, bless thy word this evening as we gather. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Again, as we continue our studies here in Psalm 40, we have seen in verses 1 through 5, David's perseverance, 6 through 8, David's prophecy. A couple of weeks ago, we began verses 9 through 10 on David's preaching. I thought I was a long-winded preacher, but David's a long-winded preacher too. So I've been here for a while. So I don't know if it's David or me, but I've been camping here for a while. But that's besides the point. And again, I love what it says there. And it says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. And when it says, I preach righteousness, this is the only place in the Old and New Testament that you have this phrase, I have preached righteousness. And we spent a whole study last week on what David said here. And of course, under the auspices of God's righteousness, David preaching and declaring God's righteousness. And then in verse 10, we have David preaching in the declaration of God's revelation, or declaring God's revelation. And again, as we said last time, David and many of his psalms have mentioned the righteousness of God in praises and in songs. But now he says that he will preach about the righteousness of God in the great congregation. And again, David, in great zeal and conviction, will proclaim, publish, yea, David will preach of the righteousness of God. After telling us about the blessed redemption that we have in Christ in verses 6 through 8, he says, now I'm going to preach and proclaim this blessed righteousness of God, seen in his faithfulness, which equals his salvation for sinners. And so he was going to preach it, as it were, freely and openly to his people in the great congregation. This is that which was in David's heart, and that which is in the heart should always come out in our tongues. And this is what David is declaring here. That which was written in his heart, he speaks to the world, to those who are followers of Jehovah God. Not only, again, David's preaching of the righteousness of God, but again, in verse 10, David is now going to declare God's revelation, where again he says, I have not hid thy righteousness with my heart, within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. And so now, as though David's going to give us a revelation of God, he reveals some glorious truth, yea, some glorious attributes of God here in verse 10. And there's four in particular. He speaks of the righteousness of God, the faithfulness of God, the loving kindness of God, or mercy of God, and the truth of God. And he said that he's going to do this where? In declaring it to the great congregation. And we've already seen the blessed attribute of God's righteousness last week, and the importance of declaring and preaching on the righteousness of God. And I beg to remind you again that I am so afraid of those, or I shouldn't say like that, but it just breaks my heart to see preachers lowered the standard of the righteousness of God. And I cannot imagine standing before God on judgment day knowing that I have lowered the standard of the gospel. And in lowering the standard of the gospel, you're lowering the standard of his righteousness. That's exactly what Paul says there in Romans 1 again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, what the gospel is, the righteousness of God declared. So if you lower the standard of the gospel, you are lowering the standard of the righteousness of God. And again, I can imagine standing before God as one who was supposed to proclaim the word of God and be charged with lowering the standard of the righteousness of God. David was not ashamed to preach the righteousness of God, and he preached it, as we see there in verse 9 and verse 10. He says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. And he proclaims it from his tongue to the great congregation. And this evening, we'll consider the aspect of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. The faithfulness of God speaks of God's truthfulness, God's trustworthiness, I should say, and along with his holy fidelity and his promises to his people. And it also, you notice that he says there that I have not hid thy righteousness in my heart, but in my heart I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. So that is included together, the aspect of the faithfulness and righteousness of God, that I think he could also be speaking of the aspect of the covenant of God in its application. But nonetheless, it speaks of the faithfulness of God, but then it also speaks of the effectual grace of God in the salvation of sinners in the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God is faithful, and God is faithful also to his gospel as the means of salvation. God is faithful in all things, and he's also, of course, faithful in the aspect of the gospel to salvation. God's faithfulness is seen in his own holy character, whether it's found in the law with his threatenings or found in the gospel in the salvation of sinners. God is faithful to his holy character, and I'm so thankful also that he's faithful to his people, yea, faithful to his holy word. Now, in regards to the faithfulness in the general sense, now we're talking the general sense, faithfulness is really almost a rare thing in this world. I mean, in the business world, with rare exceptions, a man's word is no longer their bond. In social places, even sadly, in marital infidelity, has become something that is expected, really. I mean, the sacred bonds of matrimony, I mean, they're discarded as no big thing, like a piece of paper. You just wrap it up and throw it away. What shall we say about the political world, our elected representatives? With very rare exception, I mean, they use their public affairs for nothing more than what, a personal advantage. But worse than all these things, sadly, in the religious application, the vast majority of churches, preachers, religious leaders who claim to serve God, uphold his word, proclaim his truth. No, what they really do is they repudiate the character of God. They deny his word and openly attack the truth of God. And so faithfulness, really, it's a rare thing in this world. But thanks be to God that God has his 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal or to the goddess free willism of our day. God does have his faithful servants, and I'm thankful for that. But then also, we must say that even among his saints, and even among his faithful servants, there is at times also unfaithfulness. I mean, just think about it, how unfaithful we have been to the things of God. One writer says, quote, how unfaithful we have been to the light given to us, privileges, responsibilities that God has given us. Our faithfulness to our God at best is unfaithful. But God is faithful. And how refreshing, how blessed it is to lift our eyes above the world, above ourselves, to behold one who is faithful, faithful at all times, and faithful in all things, unquote. And so, regardless, if we are not faithful, but thanks be to God, he is always faithful, and I'm thankful for that. His faithfulness is not contingent upon you or me being faithful, and amen to that. I love the words of 2 Timothy 2:13. He says, if we believe not, yet he abided faithful. Why? He cannot deny himself. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to do what it says there in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to our profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For faithful is he that promiseth. And aren't you glad that even when we sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive us, as we're told there in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says that there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And therefore, the Lord our God, he is faithful. He is always faithful. Yea, he is faithful in all things. This is our confidence. This is why we can put our trust in him, because we know that he is faithful. And when you think about it, we really could not have no faith in God. We could have no confidence in his word if God was not faithful. Faithfulness is an attribute that is very essential to God. Without faithfulness, God wouldn't be God. And it is one of the most glorious attributes to his nature. In Deuteronomy 7:9 it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, that keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him." God's faithfulness is like himself. It is great. It is infinite. And I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of God. And you know that every morning that you wake up, it is because of God's faithfulness and his mercy, that is his loving kindness. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's why. And so faithfulness is all around God. It's like a garment with which he is clothed and covered from head to foot. Psalm 89:8. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, who is like unto thee, or thy faithfulness round about thee? God's faithfulness is immutable. It is inflexible. It is uncompromising. Yea, it is unchangeable. It has never failed, and it will never fail. It is established in the heavens and will continue forever. And you can see that in Psalm 89:2, 23, 33, Psalm 119, verse 90. And so again, 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. And I hope you understand what I'm saying, that it is utter impossible for God to be unfaithful. It is God's faithfulness that is the foundation of our trust, of our confidence in him. And we have a God who is faithful, a God who never forgets, a God who never fails, a God who never falters, a God who will never forsake, a God that will never forfeit his word. He is faithful in all things. And therefore, we can safely and confidently commit ourselves to him and depend upon him for all things which he has promised, both in this life and in the life to come. 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." Yes, amen. And so the faithfulness of God is seen primarily in the fact that he always performs what he says in his word that he will do. In Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he shall not he do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Now, quickly, let me give you some illustrations of God's faithfulness to us. And you see these, of course, in the Bible also. Well, more than 4,000 years ago, God would tell us there at the beginning in Genesis 8, he says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." And every year, again, furnishes a fresh witness to God's faithfulness to his promise. He promised that he would never destroy the earth with water again, after the flood. And then he set the rainbow upon the sky to remind us of his faithfulness to his promise. And every year, it all comes together. You know, there can be summer, wind, spring, fall, and it never changes. Because God promised that in Genesis chapter 8. Psalm 119:90 says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abided." Why? Because of God. That's why I don't believe there's ever going to be a time that this world's going to be destroyed by Martians or, you know, or whatever you want to call it, a nuclear war and all those things. Okay? I'm not saying there can't be a big world war that's been like in the past, but it's for as far as the world to be totally annihilated, that would never happen. I don't want to go to 3 Peter. We'll be there for the rest of the evening and then some. Because it tells you there, he promised that he will keep it until the day that Christ comes back. And when Christ comes back, he's coming in burning fire that he will destroy. And he'll create a new heaven and new earth. And I love what it says. It is kept in store until that day. That's faithfulness, my dear one. So that's why, again, I don't fear there's going to be some great calamity that's going to happen. You know, the aspect of, you know, we get so concerned about the climate change and this is going to happen. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because God is faithful and he's going to keep it. Not only that, but then after that, in Genesis 15, God told Abraham that his seed would serve as strangers in a hostile land for 400 years. And afterward, they would come out with great substance. And after the centuries, they ran their course. And no doubt that Abraham's descendants, they groaned under the load of bitter affliction in Egypt. Did God forget his promise? No, he didn't. Did God forget to be faithful? No. He told Abraham, you're going to be there for 400 years or so. And when it was done, I love what it says there, to that very day, Exodus 12:41, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt to that day. In the days of the king of Israel, the prophet Isaiah gave his word of the promise from God. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. But we know, hundreds of years later, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And of Christ it was prophesied, righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins, in Isaiah 11. And so when Christ came, he faithfully fulfilled all the stipulations of his covenant with the Father as the mediator and surety. In other words, he fulfilled the words there of Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8. And after that, he came, he died, was buried, he resurrected, he ascended to heaven. And there he took his place upon the throne of glory as the God name. And what is his name now? According to Revelation, Jesus Christ is called who? Faithful and true. Whoo, glory to God. Faithful and true. That's the God we serve. Then, of course, God is faithful to his covenant. And perhaps sometimes it might appear to some that God's covenant has been broken, nullified, destroyed. But it never has and never will indeed be broken. Because the covenant of God's grace and peace is not in any way contingent or dependent upon man. It is a covenant between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit long before the world began. It is a covenant dependent upon what? Not man, but the faithfulness of God. Not the faithfulness of man. God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has been faithful in his obedience to the Father and to the covenant. In the order of the Holy Covenant. And for God to save sinners, there were certain requirements and stipulations that had to be met. We could never meet those requirements, but Christ met each and every one of them for us. And he became our representative, the second Adam. And by his obedience unto death, God saved us. God required what? Obedience to the law. God required satisfaction to his justice. And God required the restoration of manhood to perfect holiness. And so now because of the imputed righteousness of Christ to his people, man can now approach a holy God in Christ. And the blessing is that Christ agreed. He agreed to do it, to become responsible in that covenant to do it. And this is again why Paul tells us Christ has redeemed us. And this is why our Savior meant when he said, "It is finished." He fulfilled everything. And again, this is seen in Psalm 44, 6 through 8. All of this was fulfilled. And thus you have the matter of salvation. The salvation of sinners is all based upon God's faithfulness. The faithfulness of a triune God for his own purpose, for his glory. And the blessing that he would even bestow his grace to a believer. That they would be born again by the Spirit of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, chosen by God the Father. And in that we receive the blessings of our great God and the blessed covenant of grace. And I love what Timothy tells us there. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world. For what? To save sinners of whom I am chief, Paul says. You know, I don't have the time to read there in Ephesians chapter 1. But if we were to read through Ephesians chapter 1, when we see part of that covenant, it was bestowed upon God's people. It speaks about forgiveness, justification, acceptance, adoption, preservation, glorification. These are matters of God's covenant faithfulness to his people. Again, Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is a faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy, which them that love him, and he keepeth covenant for 1,000 generations. Various verses there in Psalm 89, in verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever and ever. For my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 89:2, I have said, mercy shall build up forever. Thy faithfulness shall establish the very heaven. Psalm 89:5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Psalm 89:8, O Lord of hosts, who is strong God like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Psalm 25:1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And then, of course, God is faithful in all his word. In Psalm 119, 2 verses 86 and 138, verse 86, all thy commandments are faithful. Verse 138, thy testimony hast thou commanded are very righteous and very faithful. And so let man mock, ridicule, deride, blaspheme the book of God as they may. But this is a book, it's a faithful book, and it's entirely from Genesis to Revelation. It is faithful in truth. Its doctrines are true. Its promises are faithful. Its threatenings are faithful too. So it's a book that we can trust because it's given to us by God. And God is faithful in all his relationship to all his works, to his covenant people. God is faithful in all his disposition and providence. Romans 8:28. God is faithful in his discipline of his erring children. Sinful children at times. Hebrews 12 verses 5 through 11. We could read that, but you know what it says there. Our Heavenly Father never afflicts without a reason. He never causes his child a needless tear. Whenever he afflicts us how? In faithfulness. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that my judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Wow. And thus, even in our preservation, God is faithful. Being confident of this very thing, that he began a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And though often, by word and deed, again, people can deny him, but again, he cannot deny himself because God is faithful and he abided faithful. And therefore, we can say that God's elect are absolutely infallible secured in Christ. But again, our security is not based upon our strength, our resolution to keep ourselves preserved, no, but upon the veracity, yea, the faithfulness of a thrice holy God. And then to think from beginning to end, from our salvation, keeping us, and even to the day we die. He is faithful, and one day we'll be ushered to glory, and God's going to be faithful in the glorification of his people. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the wise God our Savior be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Yes, this is the God that David was speaking about. This is the God that David was preaching to his congregation about, the faithful and true God. He preached it to his congregation. I preach it to you this evening. And may we be encouraged with the blessed faithfulness of our God. Again, David, it says there in Psalm 40:10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Therefore, may God's faithfulness cause us to cease from murmuring and complaining against his providence. May God's faithfulness cause us to cease from being always worrying and careless and anxiety. May God's faithfulness cause us to honor him in our walk and in our faith. Let us be faithful to him in all things. Why? Because faithful is he that calleth you. And so if our God is faithful to us, let us be faithful to him. Yes. May God add to the preaching of his word this evening. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, again we thank you this evening. And there's so much, Lord. There's so much to speak on your faithfulness. This evening didn't even touch a drop of the glories of your faithfulness as declared in your holy word. But we got a glimpse, Lord. Even if it was a small one, yea, we got something for our souls tonight to encourage us, even as we lay our head in the pillow tonight, knowing as we go to sleep, God is faithful, and when we wake up, he's still faithful. Because he changes not. And we thank you for that. And so God, help us again. That we will be faithful to you in all things. Why? Because faithful is he that calleth you. And so Lord, we thank you again this evening for your glorious faithfulness. For we ask it in your blessed and holy name. Amen.